This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're about to launch into a Mad Wednesday Joy podcast.
You're on Mad Wednesday on Joy 94.9, and I'm joined in the studio by Riley Watts, who's performing in a dance production that's a part of the Melbourne International Arts Festival happening right now. It's a quiet evening of dance. Riley, hello and welcome.
Hello.
Studio's going wild. Wild. Crazy for you. Now, when did you arrive in Melbourne? You arrived this week, didn't you?
Yeah, Sunday night.
Okay, so you only arrived Sunday night. Yeah. Your show is opening tonight. Have you had any chance to get over your jet lag at all?
Getting there. it takes some time, for
and,
sure.
Well, that's got to be a little crazy, considering, you know, it's not just singing or acting. You're dancing. You know, your body is your tool. So how have you been getting yourself revved up and ready and fighting off the jet lag here in Melbourne?
Well, my rule for traveling abroad is to sleep as much as I want whenever I want to. So that seems to help.
That's a good theory.
Yeah, and then we have physio that takes care of us when we travel on
tour.
Oh,
well, that's all right then.
Helpful. Yeah.
You've got it all.
We're well taken care of here. Oh, yeah. Good.
Now, you are performing in A Quiet Evening of Dance, which it is a production looking at the practice of William Forsythe. Mm. So tell us a bit about that.
William Forsythe is a choreographer, American choreographer, who was the director of Ballet Frankfurt and the Forsythe Company for a number of years in Germany. And then he recently, as of 2015, he relocated to the States. And so we're a freelance group of dancers that worked this summer in Vermont, the USA, to create this new ballet.
It must be exciting to be able to perform in something that pushes the boundaries of what people traditionally expect from those works. I mean, I guess that's part of the joy of contemporary dance, isn't it, after all? But it must be really exciting to be able to push those boundaries and present a new expression in that way.
Oh, yeah. Forsythe in particular, I've worked with him since 2010, and all of his work is just so endlessly curious. And he looks at the form of classical ballet and then asks questions about it. And, you know, how can we as an audience, or how can he as a maker, or us as dancers, rethink what the form of ballet does?
That must be so exciting as a dancer to be able to do that.
It is. And then, you know, it's always interesting to have the work that we do be something that's viewed by, you know, thousands of people. Mm. You know, it's a strange thing, actually. My job is to be watched. You know, our job as dancers is to be watched and to be in dialogue with audience members, but just with our bodies.
It is that funny thing, because we often think, when we think ballet, we think, you know, there's a lot of rigidity, there's a lot of control, there's so much structure, it's almost strangling you, but therein lies the beauty of the movement. So be able to push that in another, completely other direction must be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, this, you know, structure in any form, it just depends how you approach it. You can use structure as a way of limiting yourself, but you can also use it as a way of opening new ideas up. And if you consider it like something that can be shifted, using the technique of ballet as something to express larger ideas than the technique itself, then you realize like how much is possible.
Within A Quiet Evening of Dance, there is four different expressions of movement that are looked at and performed in. Which one are you a part of?
I'm in a duet called Duo, which is now under the category dialogue. Mm-hmm. And then I'm also in the new piece that we made this summer called 1721.
It must be great to be able to keep building and exploring in regard to it, and not just feel like, okay, it's done, that's what the show is, and that's what we just take around everywhere.
Yeah, it is never ever boring. I don't think I've ever been bored since working with Forsythe. I've never been once bored on stage. And in particular with this piece Duo that I do with my colleague Brigil Joka. You know, we toured it actually to the Sydney Opera House in 2015 in support of Sylvie Guillem's tour. And we've maybe performed it almost 80 times now, and it's been a little bit different every single show. And it's been developing since the very first performance of it, just endlessly.
And that must just be so exciting to be able to have that travel through and to be performing, you know, a work that for that amount of time.
Yeah.
It never gets stale or boring for your body.
Yeah, no, not once. Because it's, you know, you're a different person every day, and we're working in a partnership, and a lot of it is improvisation based. And so, you know, we have the ability as dancers to make different choices on stage and then have those be choices, have those choices be viewed by the public.
A lot of performers always feel so lucky to be able to be performing, you know, for years and years and years and traveling the world to be able to do their craft. But there's something I think that's always just really special for the experience of a dancer who gets to be able to dance and perform. And one of the things I love about the Melbourne Festival especially is every single year it comes here, you know, there's a certain different expression of dance or something that we're not used to having seen or know that we get to experience, which I think is absolutely brilliant. So it must be really wonderful.
Oh, it's an amazing career. It's really, I feel lucky to have this be what I do with my time and what I do with my job and with the people that I perform with.
Did you ever think that this would be, you know, that it would be the career that's taking you here and taking you everywhere and doing what you do?
Kind of. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I was, you know, as a kid, I was always really, really physically active and curious and creative and artsy and everything. And I was always interested in other countries as well and traveling and sort of curious about other cultures. And so I've managed to find a career that allows me to use my physicality and creativity at the same time that I'm engaging with other cultures and other countries around the world.
So how would you express the work of Forsyth to people that wouldn't necessarily understand it? That's a big call.
That is a big question.
I was doing lots of research and I've been doing a lot of reading and I'm like, okay, I'm going to ask this because I don't know how to express it properly after looking all of that. I just know I want to go and see it.
Well, this particular, I mean, that it's a very hard question to ask or to answer, but this particular piece is a lot about complexity. It's a lot about musicality. It's a lot about looking into the history of ballet as it stands in today's context. This particular evening, Bill wanted to create a show where people audiences could look at what was happening on stage as a way of viewing musicality. So instead of, you know, the dancers performing to a piece of music or to a song, needing the music to be there first and then the dance sort of comes secondarily, this is a way of using choreographic ideas, choreographic structures as a way of visualizing musical structures. So it's always complex.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that something? It's great. So he wanted to use the idea of choreographing the audience's attention as a way to see ballet better. You know,
that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it sort of happens with every performance if you think about it. I mean, the people, you know, the audiences come and they sit down, and then everyone's, you know, unified in watching what's happening on stage, and a choreographer is. Their job in some way is to arrange and to reorganize the motion of what humans are doing on stage. And just by doing that, the audience's eye is being pulled into different sections of the stage throughout, you know, the hour and 45 minutes that we have on stage. So in a
hour
way,
when, and 45
yeah,
minutes,
yeah,
you know,
with a break,
a small amount,
with a break. But in some way, you know, choreography is always the act of not only choreographing the dancers on stage, but also choreographing the attention of the audience. Mm.
And that's not completely. It's not an easy thing to do. Well, you are opening tonight.
Yeah.
So we've got to let you go and get ready and start stretching and warming yourself up. Opening up tonight, A Quiet Evening of Dance is happening at the Arts Centre. It's here for the Melbourne Festival. You can see it tonight all the way through till Saturday night. An hour and 45 minutes, you were saying, of movement. Why not get yourself down and see it? You can grab your tickets by going to www.festival.melbourne. Jump online, grab your tickets. It sounds absolutely fantastic. And you're not going to see dance work like this anywhere else, are you? So you've got to come along and see it as of the Melbourne Festival. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
You're on Mad Wednesday on Joy 94.9.
You've been listening to a Mad Wednesday Joy podcast, driving you home and keeping you sane for your hump day. Live every Wednesday from 4 on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.